You're listening to the Starshine Magazine podcast. I'm your host, Sandy Lowe, and each episode I'll be chatting with different folks in the entertainment industry, actors, singers, writers, directors, and more. Stay tuned and meet our guest.
Hey, this is Kate Drummond. I play Authority Phaedra in the upcoming Utopia Falls, airing on Hulu and CBC Gem this Valentine's Day, and you are listening to the Starshine Mag podcast.
Hey guys, today I'm here with Kate Drummond, who has starred in shows like Wynonna Earp and Heartland. Now she stars as Authority Phaedra in the all-new Hulu series Utopia Falls. Kate, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
It's so good to have you. I'm excited about this series.
You and me both.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of hype going on around it. I've been hearing some things around, and it's got a really cool musical element to it, of course.
Yes.
What can you tell us about it?
Well, I can tell you that Utopia Falls is unlike anything that's out there, I believe. It's the first ever performance-based sci-fi series for culturally diverse and socially and politically minded young audiences. So basically, it feels a little bit like Hunger Games meets America's Got Talent, meets Handmaid's Tale. It's got elements of all these current shows. But what's really interesting about this series is that it really focuses on the use of music and dance across genres and styles to explore some really relevant themes. So things like youth activism and eco-awareness, diversity and culture and freedom of expression, Afrofuturism. It's such a rich series with such current themes that I think it's really going to get people talking.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I definitely get a, just from watching the trailer, there's a definite Hunger vibe, Hunger Games vibe going on.
And I love the Hunger Games.
Yeah, me too. And they live in Babel, or?
It's a future, not so far in the future, sort of dystopian society called New Babel. New Babel, yeah. And so it's a very protected society where, you know, the laws and the norms and the cultures have been very dictated and established for a very long time. And it's basically all that these people of New Babel know and adhere to, except when this group of teens stumbles across something called the Archive, which is voiced by Snoop Dogg. Oh my
gosh. So cool.
The fact that Snoop Dogg and I share a same show, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of stoked about that. But back to, you know, what really matters is.
You mean, I think Snoop Dogg is what really matters.
I mean, right? Like, I just about fell over in my chair when I heard that he was going to be voicing the Archive. So these teens stumble across the Archive, which is this container, basically this hidden gem, basically, of pop culture from the past that these kids have never had access to. So basically what it does is it just, blows open their perceptions of the world that they live in, and they start questioning things and challenging things and, you know, really discovering and questioning who they are through their art and as they find new expressions of art, which is a really inspirational sort of an inspirational storyline for sure.
Now you play, as we said, Authority Phaedra. I'm guessing the Authority part of your character's name is her title, not her first name.
Right. Yes.
I'm like, it's futuristic. Who knows what kind of names they hang out there?
I know. I am Authority Phaedra. And I am basically, I'm the head of New Babel's police force. So I am the enforcer, mm-hmm. which is very fun. And, you know, it's my job and my belief to uphold the law and order and the status quo of New Babel. So, you know, whatever comes in and challenges that order or challenges the laws, then I definitely have a problem with that. So, you know, it's such a fun role, You know, Phaedra is extremely smart, very articulate, a little manipulative, maybe you might say, and basically we'll stop at nothing, in her pursuit of, controlling this nation. That's what she wants, and everything to be status quo. So, when, you know, Aaliyah and her friends, you know, start behaving differently through the exemplar competition, and things are sort of changing, you know, this isn't our established norms, like these aren't our cultural dances, and this isn't our cultural song, and this isn't how we present ourselves. And then I, you know, basically Phaedra sets out to determine what is at the root of all of this, this new influence. So yeah, it's very current, you know, this whole notion of people having a freedom of expression and then people in power trying to shut them down. It's very relevant.
Yeah. And so I guess that kind of makes you the villain.
It doesn't kind of make me the villain. I am the villain.
It makes you the villain. I was trying to be
But
nice
I don't
about
think
it.
I'm the villain. Phaedra doesn't think she's the villain.
Right,
Phaedra thinks that she's just really damn good at her job and, you know, is protecting the citizens of New Babel. So, you know, but yes, I am definitely the antagonist of the show, which is really fun because, you know, you have these such strong protagonists, you know, fighting for self-expression, and obviously they come from deep love of dance and music and truth and sense of self and discovery. And when you have such strong protagonists, you need an equally, if not stronger, antagonist to give them something to work hard for or be challenged by, and I love being the challenge. So it was a very, very fun role for me to play.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people say that about being, you know, the villain role. It's sometimes the most fun role to play.
It is, and you know, when I first started playing the villain in my career, I had a hard time because I could do it very easily. But then I, you know, the villain is always sort of the character that's other, right? They don't really fit in with the cool kids in the show, right? So it's always sort of the villain is always the one that, you know, people start making jokes about behind their back and you know, rolling their eyes or, you know, like the villain is often shunned or the antagonist is often shunned and not part of anything. And I'm so sensitive that I wanted to be in the cool club. When I was first starting out and I was playing the villain, I was like, hey, I don't want to be made fun of. I want to be in the cool club. I want to be the one that people like, not the one that people hate. And then, you know, it's kind of grown on me. And I actually really love playing the villain because I realized that, you know, to have really great, strong protagonists, you need a really strong, great, antagonist. And I always feel quite honored to take on that role. So I really dig it now.
Awesome. What was one of your favorite scenes to film?
Oh, without giving anything away. I don't think I can say. I can't take a risk. I can't tell you what my favorite scene is, but I will tell you. I can't. Phaedra, there is something very secretive about Phaedra in all the pre-launch material because, you know, you don't like to spoil it for people and, you know, you always think things are going hunky-dory and then boom, in comes, you know, Kate Drummond. So let's just say anytime I got to act with the kids, mm-hmm. the young adults, you know, those were some of my favorite scenes for sure. But really, like everything I did on the show, I was just madly in love with. I really, really have loved my experience working on the show.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. And it comes out February 14th, correct?
Valentine's Day, baby. And I'm dressed in red just for the occasion.
Nice. Definitely be watching. There's so many things that are coming out on Valentine's Day this year for some reason. I don't know why that is, but it's like binge watch Valentine's Day, I guess. You know? I don't know if that's like the.
I know. It's anti-commercialism is what it is. We're trying to fight the pressure we put on ourselves to be out having romantic meals and spending money on things we don't need to spend money on. It's like, excuse me, I'm busy. I'm watching Utopia Falls. That's my Valentine's Day.
I feel like that is the appropriate way to spend Valentine's Day.
I think so too.
I have a really fun question. If Authority, Phaedra, and your Winona Earp character, Agent Lucado, got into a fight, who do you think would win?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love this question. Who would win? Well, definitely Authority Phaedra would win. Oh, wait a second. No, they both. I was going to give something away and I can't. Okay. Who would win? They both have incredible background in training and in fight training and weapons training. So there's that. They're equal in that realm. Mm-hmm. You know, Lucado is, Lucado's got some kick-ass moves. I mean, she can fight. She can take down dolls, and she could take down Phaedra. But Phaedra is, I mean, she's got studs on her outfit. I mean, you can't mess with metal studs on your outfit. So who would win? I think Phaedra would win.
Yeah, I mean, from what I know, that sounds like the right answer.
Yes. Ask me tomorrow, I might change my mind. But I think Phaedra will win. Yeah, she doesn't seem to have a very accessible kryptonite, and Lucado did. And Lucado had a little bit of a crack in her vulnerability. Which I think Phaedra could potentially sort of use that against Lucado, and I think could probably take her down through her heart. So
I like it. You're in deep on this.
I know. Let's talk philosophy. Let's talk the meaning of life. And the podcast that never ends. We're still going.
Now you also are on Ghost Rider on Apple TV+.
Yes.
What role do you play on that show? It's not listed on IMDb what your character's name is.
I know, because I haven't been released yet. So it hasn't come out yet. So now I'm still in a confidentiality situation for that. Because,
gotcha.
Yeah, which is kind of, hey, I'm on Ghost Rider. And then it's like, okay, tell us about that. Sorry, I can't. What's the next question? I don't know when it's coming out. I thought they were going to be releasing their episodes sooner, you know, quicker, but it looks like they've only released seven. Last I checked, seven, and I'm in like the last part. But very, I can say this, it's like a character I've never played. I have never, ever, ever played a character like this. I have never looked like this. I have never, it was so fun and so liberating. I played opposite, a fabulous actor, named, Steve Valentine, who's also a very famous magician, and got along with him like a house on fire, and, just had a blast. So I'm really looking forward to that coming out and talking about it when it does. But until then, I'm sworn to secrecy.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
I know.
You know, I'm looking forward to it, though, and I'm excited for you that you have, now you have two shows at once going on.
I know. I know. I mean, how often does that happen? You know, and I've got a couple shows that are going through the networks right now, sort of rotating through. One is called Trapped, the Alex Cooper story, which is a really, really powerful, true story about a young girl who was forced into conversion therapy by her Mormon parents because she was gay. And I play her mother. And being such a strong ally in my life, it was such a challenging role to play the mother who is so anti, you know, homosexuality and anything other than what the Mormon faith has dictated. And so that has sparked a lot of conversation with people online about the prevalence of conversion therapy and how it's still legal in many places in the States. I think something like 33 states, it's legal.
Wow,
it's
that many?
Legal. Yeah, and in places in Canada. So it's, you know, it's a conversation that has to be continued to be happening. So, you know, that's making its way through the TV circuits, and was up for a GLAAD award, actually. Yeah, and another one that I did that was released and is still sort of making the rounds is called Secrets in a Small Town, which is also based on a true story. Well, based on true stories. I think it's a more of a compilation of events. But it's about a mother whose daughter goes missing after a hazing incident in sports. So two really like heavy movies. And then coming up this year, I've got a movie coming out called The Novice, which was written and directed by Lauren Hadaway. And it's very, very cool, very black swan. It's like a black swan sports movie. It's
cool.
Really... Yeah, it's really, really dark and raw. Yeah, very, very, I'm very interested to see how that turns out. And, you know, I'm just always sort of, I shot a movie in December called A Dangerous Test. It's like a TV movie, you know, one of those good old mystery,
yeah.
Someone dies kind of shows. So, you know.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're not really busy or anything.
No, I'm not busy at all. And, you know, I'm also doing a ton of voice work, which I love. You know, I just finished doing a bunch of voicing for The Division 2, which is a video game. I played an actual character, performance capture, Dr. Candle in the Division 1. And then in Division 2, I played a character, I forget her name, but she is one of the only characters in the game who speaks in sign language. So I had to actually learn sign language to play that character. But then I went in the sound booth and voiced like six characters for the Division 2. And it was just so fun. Like one of the days it was like an hour of, okay, you're going to die in a bunch of horrible ways. So you're going to die by, we're going to light you on fire. So make the sounds of you dying by being lit on fire. And now we're going to electrocute you. And now you're going to go into convulsions. And now you're going to get shot in the head. And now you're going to, and it's crazy because you literally have to make yourself believe that you're dying from these ways in order for it to sound real. But
right.
When I got out of the booth, I could barely stand. Like I was shaking so badly. It's like my body actually thought it had been lit on fire.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was
definitely.
So sick to my stomach. I was like, my adrenaline is so high, is pumping so fast right now. Like I have to calm myself down because it was
something.
Just, oh my God. Right. Like I mean, that's the only way I swear I survive this world is meditation. But, it was just very, that keeps me busy too, is the voice work. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I totally understand like getting into that kind of character. I do that when I'm writing because I write fiction novels as well. And as I'm writing, I feel the emotions of each character and like I'll start crying or I look really angry. And if I'm at a coffee shop or something, people are looking at me like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine.
That's the sign of a good writer, right? I believe.
Oh, well,
like
thank
I think
you.
That's such a gift that you have that, because you know, you can read things where, like, I've read so many scripts, and I can read there's a difference between the scripts where the writer is emotionally attached and connected to the characters he or she is voicing, versus mm-hmm. the writer that's just putting words on paper and really sort of painstakingly going over the you know, the sentence structure, because one
right.
flows out of me as an actor and one is very hard to memorize and doesn't sound right and doesn't feel right. But it's, and you know, both writers are of value for sure. I'm not penning one against the other, no pun intended. but you can definitely tell the difference. And I personally am really moved by writers like you who
oh, thank you.
Because you can feel that energy through the words. And that's, I think that's such a gift. I aspire to have that kind of ability in my own writing.
Well, do you write?
I do. I wouldn't say that I am, I mean, I did. I co-wrote and co-directed a feature, so that's something that you know, I have under my writing belt. And I, you know, I have a bunch of short films that I've written. And I'm a writer. I'm not a very good structural writer. Like I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I get really stuck when I'm writing a script because of all the structure.
Yeah.
You know,
it is hard.
Where am I supposed?
That.
Yeah, it's a real special skill, and I have the skill of storytelling and dialogue, writing dialogue and attaching to characters, but in terms of actually getting it out through the written form and making it in a, you know, readable format that people will be like, oh, this is a script versus this is a blog versus this is a novel versus this is, I don't know what this is. I sort of just vomit words out and, you know, so I'm working on it. That's
yeah.
my thing. I've been working on it for a number of years, but I have a kids book series that I'm writing and I haven't talked about it as much as I have now, because now I'm holding myself accountable, but it's a really cool little series, that, I hope to have in my first book of the series. I hope to have that published this year. That is my big, big, big goal.
That's awesome. Well,
keep
me updated and we'll definitely post about it.
I will. Oh my gosh. See, yeah. You can, and feel free to put in your calendar, call Kate Drummond and ask her where she's at with her kids book. And you
that.
Can put the pressure on me because Lord knows I need it. I don't know why I'm not self-driven to finish this kid's book. It's just, I'm stuck on, it's what I know how it is. I know how it starts. I know how it ends. And I know what happens in the middle. I just have some transitional things that I'm not quite sure how to do it. And then every time I go to think about it, I can't think of the idea. And then I, you know, end up, you know, going for a walk with the dog. And then next thing you know, a year has passed. So
I understand that.
I need to be more diligent.
I'm supposed to, I have like a company that wants to work with me and make, like, turn some of my books into movies, and I need to write the screenplay for one of them. And because I'm not used to screenwriting, I'm just like, I keep getting stuck. I'm like, the book is written. I just need to like adapt it.
Yeah.
But
so
it's just,
how are
it's
you?
Hard.
How are you teaching yourself to write the script? Are you reading a particular book, or are you just going online?
Well,
or
I went online. I took like this free online screenwriting class, and then I've been reading scripts and things like that. So like I have a good idea on how to do it, and I even have been using like the software and everything. It's just one of those things where, because I'm terrible at rewriting something, so in my mind that's what it's like. It's like I'm rewriting my book, and anytime that's ever happened to me, like I remember one time one of my novels, I lost like a few chapters, and it was like agony for me to rewrite those chapters.
Oh, I
and so,
can't imagine.
Yeah, that, and it's never like, it never feels as good the second time that you're writing it. So I feel like that's what's going on in my brain when I sit down to write the screenplay. Is like in my mind, it feels like I've done this already. Like I need to kind of just either maybe not look at the book while I'm writing it and just write it fresh and then go back to the book for references. I think that would help instead of like trying to go chapter by chapter. Okay, let's write this scene and turn this scene into a movie scene, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's almost like you have to read the chapter and then say, okay, where would this fit in the movie? Is this act one, act two, act three, mm-hmm. you know, or does it even fit in the movie? You know, that's why I think I'd rather write a book. Like I have feature films that I want to write and I have them all like basically from start to finish in my brain. I can see the movie. I just can't get it out of my brain and onto paper, but I think I would be much freer if I could just, you know, write a novel.
Yeah, it is.
And then I'll give it
freer.
To you. And you, by that time, will know how to adapt a novel
there
to a screenplay,
go.
And then you can adapt the novel.
There we go. We could be a team.
We could be a team. And see how quickly I passed the buck for writing a script onto you?
Yes.
This is my problem.
I know. But we could potentially, I mean, I wouldn't mind that if once I'm past my hurdle, we can work on that.
Right? Just lift each other up. That's what I say. Just
so
you know.
I'll call you to remind you about to work on your children's book. You call me to remind me to work on my screenplay.
Done. Done.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up or else we'll be talking forever, I feel like.
Yes.
But it's been a pleasure. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at @KateDrummond_. On Instagram at @Kate_Drummond. Don't ask me why they're different. Well, they are different. I have harassed the woman on Twitter who owns Kate_Drummond and asked her if she would please resign. Because she hasn't tweeted since, like, the tweet was invented. And I'm getting no response from her, so I just gave up. And so I thought I'd keep it interesting and be Twitter at @KateDrummond_, Instagram at @Kate_Drummond. And I will say, like, part of what I love the most about my job is connecting with the fans. So, you know, I love it when fans hop on and talk to me about what's going on and, you know, share their thoughts about, you know, work that they've seen or shows that they've seen or, you know, even causes that I'm supporting for charities and things like that. So I'm super active on social media because I think without the fans, I wouldn't have this job and I wouldn't be feeling so blessed to be doing what I love. So I'm super, super grateful. So I'm super active on social media.
Well, I'll definitely be following you and we can stay connected.
That sounds wonderful. I've had such a great time talking to you. I feel like I've been talking to an old friend.
Oh, well, that's so nice. Thank you. The same here.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I'm really excited and I'm really excited to meet some new fans and for people to check out Utopia Falls.
Thanks for tuning in and make sure you check out Kate Drummond on Utopia Falls. And stay tuned to starshinemag.net for all of your entertainment news, interviews, and reviews.